Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It's not every day that you have the best pound-for-pound fighter in the UFC playing Battlegrounds with you, but today is not every day. I am Danielle Riendo. This is Waypoint Radio, episode 110, and I think I got that right, actually.
110 is right.
For once. Joining me, of course, is Austin Walker.
How's it going?
And we have a very, very special guest. We have Demetrius Johnson from the UFC, from streaming. You're at, what, Mighty Mouse?
Mighty Mouse, UFC is 125.
Twitch 125, because that is what you fight at. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I've been enjoying my stay here so far.
Oh, I'm so glad. If you've got some Old Blue Last...
pretty good. It's really good, actually.
Yeah?
We got, like, 3 kills in Battlegrounds via a very good sniper rifle.
AWM.
It's very fun.
Isn't that the best gun?
Best sniper. I would say best sniper. I mean, you only get 15 bullets of it, so that's it. You can't find that ammo anywhere unless it's in a crate. So.
But if you're good, that's 15 kills, right?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I was on my way to you just take it to the crate. No, I'm playing.
I heard you had some crate music. I know you didn't hear it, but, like, on the
stream. You'll have to hear it.
Yeah.
Very well produced by Natalie.
I like that.
Shout out to Natalie.
Really, really good stuff. So, I know, Austin, you asked a tiny bit about your sort of history with gaming, but I wanted to ask, maybe I'll frame it like this. So, I know a lot of serious athletes are very into games. Either it's like a competitive thing or like a way to blow off steam, or even like, I know a lot of people, if they go to tournaments or things as they're growing up, you know, as they're developing as an athlete, they get really into like Game Boy games or something like that. So, what was your like journey of getting so into games and enjoying them so much?
Yeah, for me, you know, I come from a very poor background. My mom, she was a deaf. She raised 3 children underneath one roof, and we didn't have a lot of big things to do or a lot of things to do for entertainment. So, one of them was video games.
Right.
My sister came to the house when I can't remember how old I was, but she brought the Nintendo and introduced me and my brother to Nintendo, and my mom did as well. And I play Super C her, and me and her to argue. She goes, "No, next power up is mine. That's the sprint balls. That's mine." And I'm like, "Fine, mom, get it. Go ahead, get it. I'll get the machine gun." Just so, I mean, that was the first introduction, and then you know, Game Boy. When you brought up the original Game Boy, maybe think of the Mario Brother one, and then Batman, where you throw the little thing and you get power ups. You fight Joker. He's jumping. But then
it is a great game.
And it just kept on evolving from, you know, Super Nintendo, the Sega Genesis, and then PlayStation, and then Dreamcast.
Which we talked about right before we went live.
What happened to we've got a Dreamcast back behind us.
That's what made me think of Dreamcast.
You know,
I don't know what happened to Dreamcast.
It was really good, and it just kind of got blown out of the water. And
No. Something literally happened to the Dreamcast.
They pulled it, is what happened. Like,
I felt like my modem died. Like,
physical Dreamcast.
My physical Dreamcast died. Like,
that's
like,
a shame.
Wake up.
Wake up, buddy. That's okay.
Wake up. And it just wouldn't wake up. I was like, Power Stone.
That's gone.
Spawn, God of Hand. What am I going to do in my life? And
Phantasy Star Online. There's so many games. Oh. Speaking of, we were just talking about Diablo. Phantasy Star Online was like my Diablo before I had a good enough PC to play Diablo 2.
Exactly.
I played Phantasy Star Online. Were you a household that rented games when you were a kid? Or did you
Yes.
Okay, I saw a little smile. Like, oh, man,
there you
game
go.
Rentals.
Yeah, we used to rent games. We used to rent games for Sega Genesis. I remember Streets of Rage 3. Right. I think, was 3 with the kangaroo?
3 was the kangaroo.
3 was the kangaroo.
You're an expert in that game. I know, that was like a formative game for you.
Two is the best. That's when you had combos. Axel would do his thing. You had skate. Yes, you had the chick. You had the wrestle, dude. I mean,
it's all
over the place. But I remember renting games, and I can't remember what the name of the game was. It was a cartoon show. They would jump in like armor things, and one guy he had like a cigar, and it was like a yellow thing. We were renting games.
Sounds like Captain Commando. Maybe.
Yeah.
It was Captain Commando.
It was only arcade, right?
Yeah, it was an arcade. It was never an arcade.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't.
But we used to rent games all the time, and it. I mean.
It's just different because, like, I also grew up, like, single mom, broke, and, like, it was cool to be able to be like, all right, here is $5. Like, I do not have new video game money for you.
Yeah.
And if that did happen for a birthday or Christmas or whatever, it was like, all right, I'm just going to devour this game. I'm going to become the master.
100% that's why I know 12 times.
Right. That's why I know Streets of Rage 2 so well. It was like, all right, that was my game for the 3 months. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play through with every character. I'm going to beat on the hardest difficulty or whatever. But when she did have an extra $5 or whatever, we'd go to West Coast Video, we'd go to Blockbuster or whatever, and like come back with a game and just like hope that no one, like sometimes we'd be like, oh, I have a save on this NES game. I hope no one erased it in between me renting it and then coming back for it. Stuff like that. And then it's just like, that model is just gone now. Yeah. But I guess like now it's free games, right? I guess a lot of people play free games on PC or their phone or whatever, but I definitely miss rental stores.
There was something special about that, like actually going and grabbing something off the shelf and being like, you could like look at the packaging and being like, oh, this is going
to
be my
It's like, all wrapped
thing.
In saran wrap, too. Exactly. It's like you go to KB Toys, like, oh, I'll get Demas Crest Bridge again. It's like the gnome demon firebrand travels to get the demon.
Right. And you read all the back, you read all the instruction manual.
Yep.
Dad yell at me in the car. I'm like, I have to read it. I have to read the instructions.
He's
like, it's dark. You can't read in the car. Don't read in the dark. Awesome.
You're going to bring tears in my eyes. You're literally going to bring tears in my eyes. Nowadays, I remember I think the last game I bought a hard copy of it, even have a disc or a game in it. You just had a download code on it. And that downloaded the game. I was like, well.
Different time.
Way to, you know, treat our environment well. What am I doing with this? Keep it? There's nothing in it. So.
Yeah.
You just put it on a shelf somewhere. Like behind something else. It's like, okay. Yeah. I got a box, I guess. Yeah.
Good
box
times.
Nostalgia. I don't know what's up with that. But yeah, did you ever like have a special game that was like, okay, this is the thing I go to relax? Like if you're training or if you're like really, you know.
I mean, nowadays, I mean, back in the day, it was always Super Castlevania, Metroid, Mega Man X. That's hold dear to my heart. That's what, yeah, I mean, a Twitch, but that's another, you know, I'm sure
that's,
question
that's
you have.
Oh, yeah, that's coming up. Don't worry. Yeah.
But nowadays, the game I go to relax is PUBG and Marvel's Capcom Infinite. You know, those are the games you get on, you know, having two kids, a wife, a full-time career to do. Mm-hmm. I don't got time to, you know, I've been playing a new South Park, the Fractured
Butthole.
Uh-huh. I'm playing it, and I'm like, this is sophisticated. I feel like I'm playing an upgraded version of Mario RPG,
right.
I don't have time to sit here and be like, oh, let me go up here, hit this. I need a reaction.
You need to
like,
get into it, get out of it.
Sure.
I need that too, but I need a game that's going to let me react. Like,
okay.
With PUBG, I'm reacting. Mm-hmm. I'm always thinking on the fly. I'm always thinking about my next move. I'm always trying to focus on one thing and then get it done and then move on to the next thing. To where the Fractured Butthole South Park games, I don't have time for that. Like, I don't have time. I need to be stimulated.
Right.
So just go in and learn every new thing instead of just... Here.
Exactly.
Have it, and you know what to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Unless there's like an end game point. Like, you know, Resident Evil, I've been following that franchise since the very first one. So I played Resident Evil 7, the VR version.
Oh, boy.
Because I'm very fascinated by the series, and I want to know where they're going to go with it. It's a brand new direction.
It's such a big change, right?
Big change. Because 6 was just basically a blockbuster, AAA,
movie.
Michael Bay. 100%.
Michael Bay's Resident Evil.
Yeah, until Final Fantasy. Oh, no. Resident Evil 7. They changed it completely. It went back to the roots, and I'm kind of curious. And that's why I played the whole thing, even though it
did
wasn't
you like
very,
it in VR?
I did. I played the whole game in VR.
Did you stream it in VR?
I streamed the whole thing in VR.
Oh, man, I have to go watch this video.
Yeah, I need to watch that too.
There's a highlight. There's a highlight where I'm playing. I'm like, I go, you know, the house we used to live into was two stories, and you can hear me stream upstairs. Oh, and so I'll go and tell the wife, I'm like, babe, I'm about to start streaming. Don't come in here.
Do not.
I'm in VR. I'm in Louisiana, okay? I'm in backcountry Louisiana.
Oh,
don't come in, right?
Are you?
In the game.
I thought you meant for real. I was like,
yeah, right?
Oh, man.
I mean,
how could you even live there?
Yeah. So I have the earbuds on. I'm in there, and I'm like, and then I heard somebody come in the door. But I'm like, I didn't know if somebody's in there. And Destiny goes, blah, it scares me. I go, what the f-? It's like, get out of here now. And everybody loved it. So, amazing game.
That's really
so
good. Yeah. I mean, did she get a lot of like points with your fans for being
Yeah, they loved it. Definitely. They clipped it, put it on YouTube, Twitter. Everybody watched it and laughed. Everybody loved it.
The thing about that game that's so scary for me is how, like, Resident Evil series has always been at the front of horror for years, but until it was at the bottom of horror, because it's like horror was going in better, smarter directions in games. But that game, like, the opening anyway, like the first half of it, when you're in the house is just, it's so like, obviously there are monsters and stuff, so like whatever, but like it's mostly just like a fucked up family in a house in the backwoods. And I've gotten lost in the woods before and been like, this is man no, I don't know, not like this, you know.
No,
this
not
is how
going
it's
anyway.
Gonna go like, that's where like Texas Chainsaw Massacre is like one of the scariest movies for me, or like any of the, what are the Rob Zombie ones that were kind of similar?
Devil's Rejects,
House of a Thousand Corpses. Where it's just like, this is a place that's in the world somewhere, that's off the beaten path, someone stumbles into that place, and then that's it. They get got. And, like, that's going to happen to me. I don't want to – that's way more scary to me than just, like, a slasher film or, like, a monster movie. Like, I like those. I like all of those. But, like, that's why the opening Resident Evil 7 definitely
scares me
more.
You're not, like, a teenager about to have sex in a car.
Right.
You're, like, the guy who could absolutely get, like –
get killed in the backwoods.
Murdered.
That's much more true to my experience.
Absolutely.
As,
absolutely.
100%. Took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah. That is they made a movie about that recently. You know, it was pretty good.
Wait, which what?
Out of Get Out.
Oh, like, Get Out. Yes. Yeah. No, like, absolutely.
No, that was a little different. I mean, she met, you know, she's basically slaving off.
Actually, yeah.
Right. It was, that's like the subtext to my fear
is exactly
that.
Absolutely. Actually bringing you into that instead of just it stumbled into it.
Yeah. Exactly.
For sure.
Just walking in the woods. Oh, what the, oh, oh, my God. I'm about to die. Oh, no.
It's like, well, that's my life.
Yeah.
And I'm dead now. Well, speaking of that's my life. I guess I do want to follow that into what got you into streaming. Because streaming is its own world within games, of course, now. And, like, it is now, of course, like, if you do games journalism, if you do coverage of games, or if, obviously, you have a following from something else, doing streaming feels like it's, like, a weirdly natural extension now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you find that with your career, but...
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, I got into streaming when I had my first child. You know, when you're walking your kid in bed at night, you got to find something to kill the time because it's like 15 to 20 minutes.
Sure.
And then I don't know who told me, but somebody was like, dude, you know you can watch people play video games on the internet. And I was like, are you kidding me? You must be lying. And he goes, you can watch any game you want. And I was like, huh. And like I said, I was a huge fan of Mega Man X.
Perfect.
So I'm sitting there rocking my son, doing my thing. And next thing I'm like, twitch.tv. And I'm like, let's see if anybody's playing Mega Man X. And sure enough, there's a guy playing Mega Man X. His name's Caleb Hart.
Okay,
and he does all the speed running in Mega Man X. He's sitting there playing Mega Man X. And then when I was listening, like,
the best.
And just jumping, doing a scene. I'm like, oh my God. And next thing you know, I'm like, babe, there's this thing called Twitch. And you can watch people play video games. And you can play video games. And then she goes, you should do it. It'll be a good way for you to interact with your fans on a different platform.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
And because when it comes to fighting, I'm like, it's too, like, the way I've been brought up in fighting, I'm just very too technical.
Right.
And it's very hard for me to have a conversation with people because we'll start arguing. I'm like, why am I arguing over this with you? Like, I just don't understand it. So,
especially a fan or something. We're like, that's not what you're supposed to
do. They have no idea what your day-to-day is actually
exactly.
Like.
Yeah. So then it's not like, I was like, you know what? She's like, it'd be good for you. Because when it comes to the fan interaction with UFC, I don't like it because it's very fickle.
Right,
like, they'll love you because you're winning, you're on top.
Right.
But when you're losing, you suck. I knew you sucked.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And so I try to separate too. But so I started streaming on Twitch because my wife suggested me do it. And I remember my first time I started streaming, it was Final Fantasy 14, Realm Reborn.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on my couch, half naked in my underwear, just sitting there playing the game, and everybody's like, dude, you need to get dressed. I'm like, I'm in my house. You ain't gonna tell me what to do. I'm half naked. This is what I walk around in. I would be naked, but I'm on camera. And then next thing you know, two people started coming, 4, 18, 25, 30. And then Twitch reached out to me and said, hey, are you serious about this? I'm like, well, I've always played video games. I loved it. So they got me on the PC Master Race.
Right.
I always hated PC. Because
now you're on it, though.
Now you're doing it.
I would never go back. I mean, I'll go back for the exclusives.
Right.
But, you know, you buy a PC, you spend $3,000 on a PC. Back in the day, you have, you know, the Radeon 960 HD.
Right.
2 weeks later, they got the NVIDIA 810 out. So I didn't like the fact you always have to switch out your components.
Yeah.
But now I'm more familiar with the process of it.
Yeah.
And now I'm all about Origin PC, which is my sponsor. If you're going to shop PC... OrgyPC.com.
There it is.
So, yeah.
Speaking of a break, actually, we should probably take a quick one.
Oh, yeah. Quick commercial break. Hopefully the ad is actually...
We'll see if it's in there or not.
My bad.
No, you're not at all.
It's reminded us to do that. So we'll be...
little reminder.
We'll be right back.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, so I want to pivot a little. Just a small pivot. Mm-hmm. Really tiny pivot. So I also, I mean, not... anywhere near your godlike level. I train MMA for fun. Just for fun. And I always have this thing with, I would love to find a game that, like, just in any way really kind of recreates the experience or the intensity of fighting another human being and like actually being like in that space with another person. I'm wondering if you've found anything that like clicks on any of the levels where fighting actually does.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of games. Awesome. A lot of fighting games. One of them, obviously, the new UFC game that's coming out, UFC 3, February 22, that's coming out. That's pretty close. Comparable. Okay. Marvel's Capcom Infinite is, because it's always about distance, putting yourself in a neutral position, depending on what character you have, depending on what character, what their lineup is, how you're going to put yourself in there, or if you're fighting, depending on what their loadout is, their Infinity Stone choice, whether it's soul, reality, space, time. You have to make sure they have a soul, a life stone, I think it's soul stone. And if you're fighting the person and you kill that first character, you got to activate your soul stone. That way he can't bring his other character to life.
There you go.
Because you can't activate two stones.
So thinking about what they're going to do and trying to counter
next
it.
Next moves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's how it comes into fighting. I would say even PUBG, because you always got to look out, you know, the distance, how far the person is. Yeah. How can you get behind them without them knowing, hearing footsteps. So it's all about reaction. That's the biggest thing I'll say. With PUBG, it's about reaction. Marvel's Capcom Infinite, it's about the strategy, the game planning, the loadout, and knowing what that person is capable of, just like in a fight. And I'll say UFC 3, it's, you know, you're basically fighting all the time.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, that's really good to hear, too, that, like, the game actually recreates on some level. Obviously, it's not the same game, but on some level, there's, elements there.
I can say that to you guys. You guys are video game players. You guys play video games. Yeah. You guys aren't, you know, the original public where it's like, oh, fighting, yeah. But I can be like, you know, I can be like PUBG. You guys are like, yeah.
Of course, I can see the distancing, strategy.
Yeah. Strategy. Yeah, you guys have experienced that's where the 99.9% of the public probably hasn't played PUBG.
Right.
Sadly.
Which they have. Even something like Mega Man X or even like the original Mega Man games, you think about those boss fights.
Yep.
Like already it's about like figuring out what are they going to do, how do I keep my spacing right, stuff like that. Though also you told me while we were playing PUBG that your mains in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite are now what, it's Sigma and Ultron?
Yeah.
First of all, you're using the boss guy. You're using the bad guys.
I'm basically using Ultron Sigma.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Two, Mega Man X isn't in there. You just said you got this dream for Mega Man X. How come Mega Man X isn't your go-to?
So this is funny. So I have a roster, okay? When I first started out, it was Dormammu and Ultron.
Okay.
Then I started playing with, Dormammu. Then I switched out Ultron for Mega Man X. I gave Mega Man X a chance.
Okay.
You know, but he wasn't up to par. He wasn't up to Mighty level, okay?
Oh, okay, wow.
But then they released the new DLC characters, Ultron. Not Ultron,
Sigma.
Sigma, Monster Hunter, and Black Panther.
Yeah.
Black Panther, huge fan of him. First African-American,
you
know, superhero kind of nowadays.
Yep.
After, so I gave him a chance. He wasn't up to speed.
Wow.
And so I gave Sigma a chance, and Sigma was just all about it. So I had Sigma during my mind. I'm like, okay, I got two slow characters.
Mm-hmm.
I need to switch them out. I've always been a fan of Ultron, and so I switched out Ultron, and then the dynamic between both of them and how good I am with those guys is good. I am not able to ladder with Ultron yet, but I haven't really put time.
Yeah,
it's a grind, you know. I remember when I was playing Tekken 7, they introduced Akuma.
Mm-hmm.
Akuma brought his DAFC to where you can throw uppercut and then dash, and it took me a long time to get, but once I got it, whew, felt good.
It's in there. So do you find at all that like you're playing totally different types of styles in a fighting game than you do like actually fighting? Like a bigger, slower fighter versus a smaller fighter, faster fighter? Or I'm just wondering like 100%. Psychologically, like, is it just more interesting to you to do it differently like in the video game world? Or
100%. Like, cool. I mean, I've been upfront about this. You know, with the UFC 3, I don't enjoy playing the game. Like, I enjoy playing the game. I think it's a fantastic game.
Right.
It's very optimized. It's a very great game. But if I had a choice, if I was going to die in a black hole for the rest of my life, I'm going to play Marvel's Capcom Infinite instead of UFC 3.
It's just faster.
It's just, you're not, every single character has their own moveset. Every character moves totally different.
Right.
So with that game, you're basically reskinning everybody and you're making this character faster than another person, where Ultron has laser beams. He moves faster than Sigma.
Wait a second. There's no laser beam? You don't have any laser beams?
I have no laser beams in UFC.
I thought maybe you just had them in the back pocket. You just hadn't had reason to bring them out yet.
I talked to the creative producer, but he wanted nothing to do with it. And he goes, we haven't seen it yet. And I'm like,
We haven't seen it.
That's because you've been saving it just in case.
Yeah, exactly.
You felt defense. You're going to bring out the laser beam in real life.
Yeah, and, you know? And fans would get mad at me. Like, I can't be able to play UFC. I was like, guys, I do this every day in the gym. Like, I don't need to have a controller to do that stuff. If I want to kick somebody in the head, I'll drive an hour away and kick somebody in the head. Legitimately, I'll kick a guy in the head.
And then you go to the gym and kick someone in the head there, too. That'll be.
And then I get to the gym and I go, Hadouken.
It doesn't work. Doesn't quite.
It's like, come
on. No good. And then so I go back home. I'm like, Hadouken. I'm like, perfect. Got it.
Different world.
Different world.
A little bit. I mean, just a little different.
Just a little bit different. Yeah. I mean, it's great.
Yeah. Well, that tracks. That makes sense to me. So I'm going to ask about fans now.
Yeah, of course.
Because this is a fun question, right? Yeah. So, like, basically, in my experience, a lot of athletes and, like, MMA people, they're into video games. They like video games. Maybe not necessarily the same kind of games that I play, but, like, people, like, know kind of what's out and what's going on. But it's not the other way around. In my experience, a lot of video game fans do not watch MMA. They don't know what it is. Yeah. They don't know what UFC stands for. They don't, you know, they don't know what that is. And I'm wondering, is there anything we can do to get more like video game people into MMA and how cool MMA actually is?
Well, the biggest
thing, or should we?
I mean, you know, it's up to them. I think it's always good to introduce them to it. Like I've been introduced to Twitch. You know, I thought it was a good thing. But at the end of the day, I think video game population and the minority of video games is a totally different spectrum. I mean,
there's
so many different things in video games. Like you either like first person shooters, you either like RPGs, you like RTSs. You have a wide variety of things you can watch and enjoy. To a mixed martial arts, it's just fighting. You just have two people fighting each other and that's it. Granted, in mixed martial arts, you have wrestling, jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, boxing. But at the end of the day, you're starting to see a big mold that that's what everybody is doing. Like, everyone wants to be good at everything. To where a video game was like, my bread and butter is fighting game and
Shooters,
you know. Yeah. I mean, RPG, there's a strategy to it, but not really, because it's basically rinse and repeat. You died, okay, I'm going to go back and level up, come back and beat you. To where those games, it's all about your reaction. Does it get better?
I got to get you playing Dark Souls.
I beat Dark Souls 1, 2, 3,
okay,
and Bloodborne.
Good.
I
mean, so you like those?
I love them.
Because those are also, Bloodborne was the last time that I actually thought about an action game that felt like what watching MMA or playing a fighting game even looked like, where it was like it's all about spacing and timing and thinking about what your opponent's about to do.
And learning, and I think the one thing that got, that's kind of hard, not hard, but kind of repetitive about Bloodborne and even Dark Souls is that you learn the pattern of the boss.
Right.
So the boss will be like,
they're not reacting to you back.
Exactly. Then they'll walk back, they're like,
yes.
Then they'll do it.
Like, for people listening, there was just
exactly.
Right?
But amazing game. And I think the only thing that, my personal opinion, that Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3 was missing, just more dialect. Okay.
You want that story?
The story. At the beginning of the game, Dark Souls 1, hey, you must be new here. If you ring one of the bells, something will happen. You read him again? Oh, I'm gonna still you haven't read the bell, have you?
I'm going to get on the phone with From Software and get you a part in the next
season. Exactly, you should be in it.
Well, the unfortunate thing is they canceled it. Like, they said 3 is the last one.
They said no more.
That's right.
Yeah, I talked to Bandai and they're like, 3 is the last one. I was like, you sure?
I think that for me, it's a cool thing because it's like I want the team that made that to go make something else.
Oh, you know, 100%.
That's like the thing. It's like they figured out how to do that one, take the learning from that, and go off
and they, not else. That they learned how to do it, they mastered
it.
Right. They mastered it. Three games that have been successfully sold, mastered it.
Right.
I mean, you should get on the phone. You should be like Mighty Soul. Let me pitch you.
Just call
Mighty Soul.
Mighty Soul.
Call me.
All right.
Call me. We'll
make
it
happen.
Well, I guess building off that, like, so right now you are an incredible UFC fighter, an MMA fighter. You obviously have the streaming thing going on. What happens when you feel like I've mastered this stuff?
What? Gaming or?
UFC. Fighting, basically. Well, when you're like, I've got it, I'm done. What's your next step?
It's video game streaming. Obviously, you know, I would love to get a casting in a video game, be a voiceover, or help produce a game. I just had my first casting call. I cast one of the qualifiers at H1Z1 at Invitational at Daybreak.
Nice.
So I would love to do that as well. Cool. But just being involved in the video game world. Video games brings out a different type of I'm just passionate about it. It brings out a different person in me. And it's always evolving. You know, it's always evolving. Right now, I think the industry is struggling to find the next multiplayer. Right. That's good for streaming. That's the hardest thing as I, you know, known become a streamer is that you don't start playing games for your own entertainment. I mean, I do get entertainment at PUBG and Marvel's Capcom Infinite, but for me to sit down and play a game like I did with Super Metroid, It's not going to happen.
Right.
You
right.
know, even though they came out Wolfenstein, I didn't play that at right. all because I don't have, you know, 2 to 3 hours. Just, I do.
To sit down and.
But
and
I want to laugh. I want a game. I want to run somebody over.
Yeah. And it's a different experience. Like picking a game to stream. We have this discussion a lot. We're like, what are we going to stream today? It's like, well, we could play this, but like that game is a game I want to enjoy for me on my own time when I'm not trying to make jokes or when I'm not trying to like keep the chat engaged.
Exactly.
Which is different than like a game that's like going to be good. Like, we played, what was a Stick Fight?
Stick Fight
or something like that.
I think
it's like cheap, like $3 game. Seriously, on Steam, where it's just like it's like those old Flash animations of stick people fighting each other. It was like the best time in the world. Like it's a game I probably wouldn't play off stream, but on stream, it's just like constant laughter, constant jokes.
Yeah. Exactly.
And like it's interesting to see how Twitch and streaming in general have helped certain types of games find new audiences.
Oh.
Because like they're built to be streamed.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, it's helping the producers put out something that everybody wants to play. Because at the end of the day, it's about entertainment. And for me, that's one of the things I always told myself to stay true to myself when I come to streaming. Like Final Fantasy XIV, where we're born, and Heaven's Word and Stormblood, I beat all three of them. And it's one of the games I just love to play.
Right.
But then again, like, I'm sitting and I'm streaming, I'm like, you know what? I'm actually not being stimulated when I'm playing this game.
I'm not talking to people.
I'm just not engaging them. So I think, you know, when I get back home, brand new year, 2018. When I go back in the stream, I'm like, okay, guys, I'm going to start. I'm just waiting for the next game. I'm still waiting for Capcom to come out Resident Evil 2 HD.
Right.
Because when I played Resident Evil 7, I couldn't even read chat.
Right.
I played
VR.
I'm in
You're
VR.
In
so yeah. I played 18 hours. not what was it? God, no. I played, it was 9 hours of VR, not talking to the stream. And I was like, hey, guys, I'm going to take breaks to give my eyes a break.
Right.
And I'll answer you guys. But please enjoy the gameplay. Like, I'm enjoying it, and I hope you like it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing what got me into streaming. Well, I think I'm successful in streaming is that I don't need the money from streaming because I have a successful career in fighting.
Yeah.
But it just helps build, and then now everything's good.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. That sounds a little bit like the dream there. Like, you're getting to combine your hobbies
Hopefully
in
one
way.
Day
yeah.
when I'm done fighting, I'm like, bye, UFC. Don't need you guys anymore. Yeah. Appreciate you. And then I'm like, we're at, like, you know, MSG. We're like, we have Marvel vs. Capcom 65.
Yeah, would you ever get into, like esports broadcasting?
Oh,
like
yeah.
Esports?
That's my next goal. You know, I just love video games, like I said. And, like, casting the H1Z1 Daybreak, it was nice. You all like, oh, there looks like a Flame Hopper. He's going there. Those are grenades. He gets out, and they're exchanging. The AR-15 gets it. Oh, he wins with a headshot. I just love that because it's just basically commentating what's going on in the game, and I just truly love it.
Cool.
Yeah, do you think, like, streaming is getting you ready for that?
Yeah.
Because you're already kind of doing that, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Sometimes I'll do custom games on PUBG, then I'll cast call it. Like, after I lose, and I have the ability to go to different characters and call it. And so it's getting me ready. I practice it for my next career, and you have to do that. You have to do it in any sport. Football,
totally.
Basketball, wrestling, anything.
I can't wait to see more people do that stuff with PUBG because a friend of the site, Jeff Grubb, who works for VentureBeat, GamesBeat, another website that writes about games, every weekend does like a big like family dinner, like get as many people in the games industry together as possible to do huge games. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just like we'll do a zombie mode or do whatever in PUBG.
Absolutely.
But the one that we did once was like 50 on 50, and it was unbelievable. Man, I'll link you to the video of it because he didn't play, he just cast it, and like it was so cool to see him figure out where to go and zoom in and like tell the different stories that were happening on the stream of like, well, the best part was like there was a team of like two or three people who were in a car or a bike, and what they did real smart is at the very beginning of the game they got in their car, they go to the other side of the map where the other side of the players were all landing, and then killed all the cars. They shot all the tires out of the cars, which meant that it gave our side the time to get further into the map and like get into defensive positions.
And then everybody else.
And everyone had to walk down like the hill. And it was like, all right, we're just sniping them off.
Yeah.
It was wild. Obviously, you can't do 50 on 50, but what it was.
It was like
what we did with shirts versus skins, basically. Like, if one side was like everybody wore a jacket, the other side, no one wore any clothes. And it was like, all right, if you see somebody who's not wearing clothes,
shoot them.
That's how you know.
Well, see, at the end of the day, you have to get 100 people all on the same page.
Yes.
Like, 50 versus 50, shirts versus skins.
It was very difficult, but
like,
it was good.
You know, you have one dude who's like,
yeah, all it takes is one person to like screw it up, right? Yeah, but it was good.
Shoot, everybody knows, like, ban him now.
Yeah, exactly.
That wild card. Yeah. Just ruin it for everybody. But, you know.
But, you know,
PUBG has that element to it sometimes.
Already,
people want to do that.
Exactly.
Know?
I think next time I get home, people are going to tell me to try it, so I think I need to try it one day.
You should. Figure it out. See if you can. You have a nice sized community. People who respect you and like who don't want to like be that jerk on stream.
Mm-hmm.
So also you'll see them do it and you'll get to drag them on stream. If
I
want to
play
do that.
Too. I want to play too. So, but I'll probably be the first person to die and I'll just be able to watch. So be good. Work out perfect.
Good.
Yeah, that works. I was gonna ask about fans in general.
Yeah.
And if you prefer UFC fans or video game fans?
You know, I prefer both.
Okay,
I
mean, cool. That's a very good answer.
Yeah. Diplomatic.
Yeah, no, very diplomatic.
I'm going to keep it straight. I try to tell people I'm probably one of the most realest dudes. Mm-hmm. Like, I was literally in front of the H1Z1, the owners, not Ark Lager and mm-hmm. Raquel, the PR people, owners. And they're like, they're looking at me like, what are we doing wrong? And I was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I mean, PUBG's taken off. I was like, you want me to be 100% honest with you? He was saying, I was like, your fucking shooting sucks. I was like, if I put the crosshair on you, you should die.
Right.
I don't need... I've tried AR-15. I own two guns. I know how shooting works, okay? Right. And I told him straight up. So when it comes to the fans, when it comes to UFC fans, they're very passionate. They're very passionate about the sport of mixed martial arts. But at the end of the day, they don't think about the athlete. They just want what mm-hmm. they want, you know? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, the biggest thing top right now in mixed martial arts is me going up to 135 to fight for the other belt. I will do that. Just let me make the money I want.
Right.
So if the UFC would pay me what I want, then I'll make the... I have no
problem. Make
the
jump.
I'll make the jump. Yeah.
You're professional.
As a professional, at the end of the day, I want to retire. I want to be able to do what I love. I want my kids to mm-hmm. never have to worry about going to college. Right. I never want to go back to work. I shouldn't have... I've been a champion for 5 years. I shouldn't have to go work at Costco after I'm done fighting.
Yeah. Right.
Then what is the point of me being a champion for 5 years?
Especially if you're putting your body on the line.
Putting my body on the line.
Absolutely. At any point, you could take a career-ending injury. Like, you're really... Even before being in the ring, right? Like, during training, people get hurt in big, bad ways.
Absolutely. ACL, tails, LCL, anything. So that's one thing that I have a problem with the MMA fans is that they just want what they want from you.
Mm-hmm.
With the video game fans, I 100%, I have nothing negative to say about the video game fans because we're all passionate about producers, creators, different.
I will say there's a little bit of it in that, like, so like the one of the things, I don't know if you know this, is in gaming, there is, there's a real problems in terms of game production when it comes to crunch time, when it's like in the final stages of a game for months, you might have people who work 70, 80 hour weeks mm-hmm. and who often aren't compensated fairly because of that. And more and more players and fans are like, hey, we should treat people more fairly
finding
than that,
out
figure
that.
Out ways to
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see, but it is a little bit of the same thing of like when it comes down to a fan, a lot of fans are like, all I want is the game. I want is the game. Where like there was just sexual harassment charges against allegations against Naughty Dog against a high ranking mm-hmm. right a lead at Naughty Dog from a former employee, and some of the response to that was good, which was like, hey, you should get to the bottom of this. Hey, you better like treat this sincerely. Yeah. But there were people who were like, I don't care about that. Just give me the Last of Us 2.
Right.
And it's like, oh, like I want that other type of fan who cares about the people who make the games, who really wants people to be
good.
You should be good people.
You just created a master. Piece, so you guys created Dark Souls, the whole entire trilogy.
Yeah.
Everybody should never have to make a game ever again in their life. 100% agree with
that. That's all.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of it, but also it's different because you're not getting in the ring and getting punched in the face.
Right.
Exactly. And I've never experienced that side of the video game
fandom.
Public.
Right.
To where for me, it's like, hey, you like video games? I like video games.
Yes.
We're cool.
We celebrate that together.
But for me, if I was developing a game, I'm like, hey, dude, my son has stage 3 cancer. I'm not going to be able to finish, Dark Souls 4. I don't give a... Who the hell... I didn't even know you had a kid.
Right. Exactly.
Get back in the studio and make that game.
Right. Why is poise broken this time?
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah. It's all your fault.
I don't want
that. It's not everybody, but it is a thing I wanted to mention.
It's a small vocal minority.
I think you find that in a lot of, anywhere where there is... a risky job of any kind, whether it's in sports, whether that's in, whatever you do. Like, truck drivers die more than anybody else in America.
Right.
But, like, we don't really talk about that ever, really, you know? But I just wish we all cared a little bit more about the people who do the cool things that we love in the world.
Yes.
That's my very cheesy moment here.
That's
a good
citizen. I want a little rainbow
at the end.
Like, please, don't be a dick.
Like, don't be a dick.
Like,
that's my rainbow.
Right.
Finally, I know what
don't
my rainbow
dick.
Is.
Don't be a dick.
Be kind to others.
That's it. Be good or be good at it, right?
Yeah, and be good at it.
Right, yeah. So, sorry, I didn't mean to interject
no,
in this
No,
interview.
I mean, like, that's a beautiful, I mean.
That was a beautiful piece.
I feel like that was, I got a little tear going.
I'll do my best.
One single tear. That was very, very beautiful. I guess I had kind of one last general question. And it had to do with esports, and a fan actually tweeted us. It was wondering, like, GSP has invested in an esports team.
What team?
And they're
is he?
Wondering if you would ever consider going into esports to that degree, like investing in a team or looking at it from that more like high level perspective. Sounds like you're obviously into the casting perspective.
Well, yeah, obviously first and most is the casting perspective.
Yeah.
I think me and GSP are on two different pay scales. I think he's on a higher pay scale than I am.
Yeah, that's
but
fair.
If I was on his pay scale, absolutely. We have four dedicated guys that want to do well in PUBG. They're going to start playing in online tournaments.
Nice.
And I told him, I was like, I fully heartily support you guys. So if you guys make it to that next level, then and they said, we we want to rep the Mighty Bullies, Mighty Squad. So I said, that's awesome. But I've talked to, you know, WME, IMG, and asked him about, should I invest in an eSports scene? So I own a team. He goes, let me tell you 10 reasons why you shouldn't own an eSports team. And so I took their advice very well. And I have had ties, and I've worked with, you know, Northern Gaming, which is an eSports team based out of Toronto. But at the end of the day, you know, you hear stories about they're not paying them athletes and all that
Again,
stuff.
Same thing, right? Same thing.
Labor
you know,
issues.
People say, I just want wins.
You know, it's kind of hard, right? So if I have, I mean, I know we're crunching time, but I'm going to break this down. So if I had an eSports team, and the games I want them to be good at is PUBG. So I go out and I buy the best PUBG players, you know, Nate Shot, Jumpman, or whoever, four top
great
guys, right? And let's say their monthly salary is $2,000 a month, and so 2 times 12, that's 20. So $24,000 a month, $25,000 a year. So times four, was that 24? That's 48. It's like 100. So about 90 grand, about 90 grand a year. So you're paying 90 grand a year. They don't win a tournament. They don't win one single tournament. Right. You don't make your investment until a team like Madison Square Garden just purchased CLG for $10 million.
Right.
Then you made your investment.
That's when you make your investment.
Yeah. But I'd rather put $90,000 in an investment in a stock market.
Right, which you know you'll get something back. Even a very conservative stock market.
5% back is way better than zero.
So, and that's on top of the fact that, like, also, you would want to do it right so that you're treating the players well.
Exactly.
And you want to make sure that they feel like they're eating fine and they have access to medical insurance 100%. And all that, which costs more and more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if I got in a position where I can be the spokesperson of the esports team and be the brand ambassador to where it's like, hey, Demetrius, we're going to give you $10 million. No, we just want you to be part of the esports team. We even want you to make sure they're in good shape and they're getting workouts in and you're feeding them right. And we're going to give you a salary, a monthly salary of, you know, $4,000. And you can still stream and all your stuff on your side.
There you are. Some esports teams, listen.
There you go.
You want your esports athletes to have abs, chest, deltoids, biceps. Holler at your boy.
I think
that's a great idea.
Yeah,
to be honest
so
with you, I bet they'd be better players.
Yeah,
I
agree. And that's the thing, too. Like, I watched the All Game and No Play on Netflix's series and just watching, like, the Cloud9, TSM do their thing, just sitting there for 9-8 hours just playing games. I was like, dude, you guys need to get out there and socialize. You guys need to get out there and work out. Get the blood pumping because you guys are all – I mean, they just need to work out. I was going
to
go.
It's healthy. They do have to work out.
You
that's
have to work out. So,
but some of the teams are doing that now, right? Some of the teams are making sure that like they are getting exercise and
nutritional
they're, like, not,
value.
Of course. They have like on team nutritionists to make sure that they're eating right, not just ordering.
They're
going to
last longer as esports athletes if they're doing those
things. Keep their mind sharp.
Yeah.
Part of the thing is that like the thing that is interesting to me when it comes to esports and MMA is that esports is a fairly new development, right? Esports is a thing. It's had some stuff that's been running for a decade or more, right? But like when we think about the word esports, when we think about the big money investment, when we think about major teams that get purchased by major corporations, that's fairly new. And MMA, again, martial arts, combat sports are old, but in terms of like blowing up, MMA has been in the last 20 years, at least in North America. And I think it's interesting to see how both of those groups are struggling and learning about how to make sure that the athletes are treated well and are compensated fairly and are able to be protected. But also, it's interesting to see like how corporations are like, all right, how do we get the most out of this? How do we push them as far as we can? How do I get the biggest slice of the pie? Exactly.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, you know, when you look at CLG being purchased by MSG for $10 million, the only reason that happened, from my understanding, from the info I was given, is that they had League of Legends tournament there. Two days in a row, and it sold out every single day.
Yes.
This is the second time the UFC's been back to MSG, and the first time it sold out, the second time it didn't sold out. Mm-hmm. And this is from a year apart. So you have an event 2 days back-to-back, video games, selling out.
One of the biggest places in the world. One of the most you know, the best histories, prestigious.
Yeah, exactly. And a game that sold out the arena is free.
Right.
100% free to where that's where I honestly think that there's no other entity out there right now that's going to be able to compete with esports because it's free. It caters to all nationalities, Indian, Mexican, Korean, Japan. When you have people in Asia, you're going to school to be a professional League of Legends player, you're just on a whole other ballgame.
This is the thing that's like we talked about renting games an hour ago or whatever, and like today we wouldn't be renting games.
We'd be
playing League. We'd all be playing League or playing other free games that are just on that we have like a bad laptop that was handed down to us, but it can still play League. And that's what we would be doing. Like, it's such a different environment now compared to when we were all growing up.
Yeah. 100%.
It's pretty bananas. I'll put my stamp on it there. It's pretty bananas.
Danielle Riendo.
Yeah, it's good stuff. If I can sneak one question in.
Of course.
One last one. Who do you have in the fight tomorrow night?
Fight tomorrow night. It's very hard to say because I think I mean I don't. That's a thing. I went on a spill in my stream, 15-minute spill. Why I can't pick somebody because
I understand.
It's not because I don't dislike her. Like I like all the fighters. I think as long as you're not out there committing crimes and you're good to your wife, you're good to your kids, I'll mess with you. I'm cool with you. But you know, GSP coming up, being out for 4 years, I think he could beat Michael Bisping. But at the end of the day, I think Michael Bisping could beat GSP. He's a bigger dude. He has good stand-up. He defends a takedown. He should be able to get done. So there you go. Both those guys can win. But I can do the same thing for both all the fights on the card.
Yeah, I'm actually really curious about Joanna. I want to see what happens with that.
You know,
Rose, like, that is intense.
So I'll do the Rose one for you. So Joanna, she's a good stand-up fighter. She's good. She's quick. She's explosive. She has a jab. And she's going to stand up and bang and defend a takedown. Rose, what she needs to do to win that fight is close the distance, take her down. She absolutely has no ground game. She just defends. So if you get her off her back, you posture, you pass guard, she's going to turtle, you take her back, choke her out, drop down the armbar. You can do that. It's the game. I've just given her the game plan how to do it.
Absolutely.
And then if Joanna comes back to me and goes, why would you say that? I'm like, because you don't practice grappling. Like, you do.
It's kind of a pretty huge area. Yeah, you know, like
for me, when I was in my upcoming amateur days, my coach's like, okay, you're grappling, but you need to go do a jiu-jitsu tournament. You need to compete with grapplers.
Yes.
Right. And I can probably say this. I go to her, like, hey, have you ever done a jiu-jitsu tournament? She'll be like, no. Here's a world champion that's making millions of dollars and never stepped foot in a jiu-jitsu tournament.
Yeah.
And so that's why I don't like to mix mixed martial arts with video games because it brings out almost a devil.
I can feel it.
Devil in me where it's like, dude, you're making millions of dollars and people say you're the best Pound fighter in the world. You can't even fucking do a flying armbar. You don't even know what that is. Like,
right.
The submission I pulled out in my last fight, it was a combination of wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and me using mixed martial arts to my advantage.
Pulling them together.
Pulling them together to where people don't do that. And that's what makes me mad. And that's why I think.
Would you ever get into coaching? Would you ever like.
No, because everybody. It's almost like a boxer told me, he goes, you know what's wrong with boxing nowadays? Is that people want to get to, they want to get to Floyd Mayweather status. Right. They always want all the money.
Right.
People don't care about representing the USA, representing the sport and going to the Olympics and getting a gold medal. Because when you get that gold medal, you get $20,000. That's it. You become a professional boxer and forget all the roots and what made boxing great.
Yeah.
They just want the money.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, mixed martial arts, what got me into MMA wasn't the UFC. I didn't care about hurting somebody. I didn't care about that. Like, oh, I'm not the type of guy who gets off of, I just hurt this man.
Right.
Now he has to go home, pay $1,000 in medical bills, and his face is
all smashed up.
What got me in the love of it was the person being able to work out, being healthy, and understanding how to manipulate and use
the technicality
of it. And so that's what got me into it. And nowadays, I don't think you're going to see that with any up and comer. They just see the UFC and like, I want to be in the UFC.
See the lights, the glitz,
the barrel of the dark and the dirtiness of like how to get better jiu-jitsu.
Who's a young fighter who you do see that like that passion for the sport, for the athletics in? Is there someone who you're like, follow this person?
I don't.
Okay.
I truly don't.
Yeah,
because I'm serious. Like everything's built up to like I want to be world champion. Like when I hear people like I was born to be world champion, I was like, no, you weren't. No. That is pathetic and sad to say that.
Champions are made, dude. Not born.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah. They're made. They're born. Like if please tell me guys, if you guys ever hear me say
I was meant
to be world champion. No, I was not. I was put on this earth to make a decision what I want to do in my life.
Right.
I hustled and I worked at it, and now that I've got this and I've been this for 5 years, I'm ready. I'm not ready to move on to the next thing, but I'm already looking at the end of the tunnel to start my next career.
Right.
To where boom, and then let's say 15 years on the road, I make the new game, and we're back here, and you're like, Timmy Johnson, please tell me about the game Mighty Souls. I mean, the game is fantastic from start to beginning.
How
did I get here? And I'm like,
the dialogue is so good.
Boom! Right there, I'm like, I was born to make this game.
Finally,
literally, when I was in the placenta, I was thinking about it.
Mighty Souls.
You're like tiny little hands. Yeah. Like, Mighty Souls.
I saw the ultrasound of me. It was me doing this. So, perfect. We'll see what happens.
I like that. Well, that is amazing. Thank you again so much for being here. Really, really appreciate it.
Had a blast.
Yeah.
Oh, anytime you need Crowbar to back you up.
I appreciate that, Crowbar. I appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly. That was a beautiful team.
We had good teamwork. We did. We had some good moments. It's true.
It was gorgeous. Well, I'm going to do our little outro stuff. Of course, always, friends, you can send questions to gaming at Vice, not gaming advice.
Not gaming advice. Gaming at Vice.
With the subject question. Shoutouts, of course, to Bowen, letting us use his track Miss You off the EP Pale Machine. Of course, you can find us on Twitter at Waypoint. Facebook is Waypoint Vice, and YouTube is Waypoint Vice. All of these videos are actually now going up because of Natalie. Shoutouts to Natalie.
Shoutouts to Sophie.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you again, Demetrius. Really appreciate it. I'm a huge fan, so.
Thank you.
I was like a little nervous before coming into this today, but.
But you're pretty awesome. Like, oh, you're a fucking nerd like me. Yeah. Okay, perfect.
This is great. We can nerd out. It's going to be awesome. It makes me very happy. So, everybody, thank you so much for listening. And as always, be good and be good at it.
Peace.